Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, hello, and welcome back to a Wednesday evening edition of the Chase Thomas podcast. I am still the aforementioned Chase Thomas, and I am joined by old friend of SNY, David Wurzburger. David, good evening, sir. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Chase?
Mike Soroka is probably out for the season, so kind of a bummer for the Braves. It's been a really, really rough, weird start for my baseball team. Your baseball team, the New York Mets, also having a weird start to their season, firing their hitting coach early on, not scoring any runs, and now look to be turning a corner. You were at a walk-off this week, were you not?
Yeah, but I'm actually a Yankee fan. I was just going because my buddy's in town, and he's a Mets fan, yeah.
Well,
so that, I mean, they're also having kind of a weird season, kind of shaky start, but I'm hoping they're picking it up now.
So what's your New York team list? So I don't mess this up going forward when we're doing these pods in the fall. I need to know where you stand on football. Like, what is your team list?
I'm Knicks, Yankees, Jets, but and then Rangers, I guess, but in like that order of me caring. So
yeah, well, I noticed you left out the NYFC and New York Red Bulls.
And the New York Liberty.
Okay.
And throw that one in there too.
Still no Red Bulls versus NYCFC.
I guess NYCFC.
Okay. Are you a diehard? Yeah. You like the light blue that they're rocking?
You know, I like that I don't have to travel to Jersey for a game.
Oh, do they play in Jersey?
Oh, the Red Bulls do, right?
The Red Bulls do. I think the NYCFC, don't they play in Yankee Stadium? Am I misremembering that?
They used to, at least, yes. But okay. I don't like traveling out to Jersey for a Red Bulls game, so.
No.
So NYCFC it is.
There you go. I don't know what the environment is. I haven't been to a game there. Atlanta United's incredible. Like, if you have to pick an Atlanta sporting event to go to when you're here, Verts, on business, whatever, go to Atlanta United. You'll have way more fun in an Atlanta United game than any of the other big four.
All right, well, now I know.
Now you know. Something else that you know. really well, David. The New York Knicks, who played a great, fun game against the Los Angeles Lakers, where it was back and forth. Julius Randle is still just a marvel. Derrick Rose in his defense is a marvel. The Knicks rotation as a whole is a marvel. The existence of Alec Burks is a marvel. I enjoy it. The Knicks are so much fun. And I think Rob Perez spelled it out where it was just like, the Knicks are just always going to, I think it was Rob Perez, it might have been Network, I'm not sure, but like, they're just always going to make your favorite team work to beat them. Like, they're not going to win the title, but they're just going to make it really, really painful and really frustrating for you to get through it. When you're watching this game, did you think there is some Laker bias going on? The Knicks were not getting the kind of calls that they should have in this game.
No, you know, I actually didn't have an officiating gripe this game. I feel okay. It's always the Nets matchups that's when all the craziness comes out. I thought the finishes, that one finish where I guess that was actually a travel on Randall where he went up for the three and then Kyrie sort of smacked the ball. But there were a bunch of calls earlier in that fourth quarter that I thought turned the tide. You know what? I shouldn't complain about officials. Fourth seed. They got it. Well, not fourth seed right now. Sorry, tied for sixth, but clinched at least a top six seed. No playing game. I'm extremely excited. I have no complaints. I don't want to badmouth anybody that could affect any future playoff series that might be coming up. It's okay. All good. No complaints from me.
Interesting. So, for someone who has not been tuned in to every Knicks game this year, and they're going to see them in the playoffs this spring or this summer, rather, because it's a late start. How do you explain the Knicks to them? How do you explain this 4-5, 6 seed range and their success? How do you do it?
Well, it starts with the defense. I just think their defense, it's only, you know, it's fourth in the league, which is pretty good. Top, you know, is like top five, but they just bring it every night. The effort's there every night. It just doesn't feel like they toss away any game. Like, you might get 2 or 3 minutes here and there, but then they just lock in. And it's funny, like, I have, you know, friends of mine that don't really watch the NBA or watch the Knicks very often, and I get them to watch them with me, especially because they're good this year, and they're pointing out it's like a college basketball team out there, just the way they're all over the place defensively and just really annoying teams to death. I feel like the sort of the sort of storyline of a Knicks game is like, they'll keep it sort of close, or maybe get off to a slow start, you know, first quarter, second quarter, third quarter. As it's slowly progressing, they're wearing teams down, and then they could just sort of, you know, hit the gas on offense, hit a few threes, and by then the other team is just worn down from all the physicality and the good defense and the rebounding, and they just managed to pull away, and that's just kept happening for wins this year. It's been crazy.
Interesting. So, do you have a favorite moment thus far? Do you have a favorite Knicks moment this year?
Wow. That's actually tough. I'm trying to think of that. I don't think there was like one really awesome game winner. It's got to be one of the big wins. I mean, the Clippers win last week was really, really awesome. National TV against one of the best teams in the West. You know, with both their stars, you know, they weren't too impacted by injuries. That was a great win. There've been a few really awesome wins this year, over some top talent. They just didn't expect out of this team, but they're pulling it off.
Well, I appreciate you pushing the Clippers the way you did. My NBA champion pick, Los Angeles Clippers. So, yeah, giving them a loss there to show them what they still need to work on is always helpful for the sake of me being right, which, as you know, is the entire purpose of this very podcast, is just to fulfill those prophecies, if you will. What do you think Julius Randle is going to get money-wise this offseason?
So, I guess the question is, you know, do the Knicks render the team? I think they have a team option for him for the next year. So, you know, I guess they have to sort of come to an agreement with obviously, he wants to stay here. That's what it seems like. I mean, if you're the Knicks, I guess the question is, like, what don't you pay him? I mean, honestly, he's clearly a star. He's an all-star. I would venture as far as to say he's a star. I mean, he was going one-on-one with Anthony Davis to some degree of success. You know, he's a two-way star now. He's really good defensively. He's multifunctional. He could pass. I'm not sure there's a number I'd be upset with. It's hard for me to predict because I think there's going to be some sort of, you know, negotiation between them. Like, listen, we're not going to render a team option. Let's just extend you right here now. Take whatever, 28 a year, increasing to 30 for the next 3-4 years, something like that. I don't know what they'll come to, but I'm just fine. Just extend him. I don't really care what it costs at this point. He deserves it after this year.
Joakim Noah is making how much money for the next year?
I think we're done. We're not done with Joakim Noah.
You're not.
Jeez, it's probably like it's probably a few million. That's fine. Listen,
$6 million.
This one's for real. Mm-hmm. This one's for real. All right. This isn't don't compare those. This is completely different.
A lot of cap holds they'll have, and I mean, I'm going to consult Larry Kuhn on this and all the cap holds and what they're going to do there. I mean, the Reggie Bullock, they have early bird rights on him. What they do with him? Alfred Payton, no bird rights. I'm going to go ahead and guess they're going to decline that option. Nerlens Noel, they don't have bird rights, and he's been really, really good for you guys. And Nilakina coming off the books is going to be good for them. Got early bird rights on Derek Rose. I'm assuming Rose is back. I think you're probably out on Burks because he's going to make too much money for somebody else. Is that fair to assume? Like, you can't keep him and Bullock, I feel like.
Yeah, well, the thing is, can you keep the Knicks might be able to keep all these guys, but then how much do they have left over to chase, like, a Kyle Lowry or someone they really, really want, you know, like a legitimate upgrade? I'm hoping there's some, you know, long-term deals given out where, you know, maybe the base salary is a little lower for the long-term protection. And these guys love playing here. I feel like the team's chemistry, I don't know if this is just like the fanboy talking, but the team's chemistry has been so real and like they've been so close and so tight this year. Like, it's hard for me to imagine guys walking out for a slightly bigger paycheck or like a slightly better team. I think there's going to be a concerted effort between the team and the guys to sort of stay together this offseason. But of course, if someone's like throwing a good deal of money at Alec Burks, that's where it becomes challenging.
Do you know who it reminds me of? I was thinking about this before we started recording this week. I'm just thinking about topics and the Knicks in general. And like, it reminds me a lot of the Clippers before Kawhi and Paul George came. That's what they remind me of, this Knicks squad.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
For the ones who get going when the going gets tough, and the ones who know we're tougher together. For the pathfinders breaking new ground, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as fast access to experts and 24/7 customer support. Because we know you have people depending on you, so you can always depend on us. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You'd have to, if you're the fourth, or you end up the fourth, you know, I keep going to that because it just sounds so good. Actually, the sixth seed now. But if you finish like this and, you know, you already have an established coach and an established system and you could sort of plug an offensive star as an upgrade almost at any position, that's not Julius Randle's. RJ Barrett could play either wing and, do we need any sort of point guard that isn't Elfrid Payton right now? So it seems like there are one or two like nice upgrades from being a real hard out in the play. They're still going to be a hard out, but they're not in the echelon of the Miamis, the Phillies, the Milwaukees, the Brooklyns. Yeah.
I do think it's going to be interesting because it's like the Lou Will stuff where like, Yovan Buha, friend of the pod, talked about this a lot last year when he was still covering the Clips and just that difference. Remember the report on Kawhi and like how the special treatment of stars versus the guys who did the dirty work and like put together that surprise playoff team under Doc, and then the stars come in and it just their roles change, all that kind of stuff. But it's hard to keep that continuity and this kind of funness once the stakes are raised. Brooklyn kind of dealt with this a little bit, but I think they've really navigated it pretty solid, especially with just the amount of star talent that came through the door. And we'll get to Bruce Brown a favorite of this very podcast. But I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting. We'll have to see, too, like RJ becoming a force. Like, you have to prioritize RJ, I think, in your long-term plans. You have to prioritize, I think, Manuel quickly. And then Mitchell Robinson hasn't been a part of this now. Like, what happens with Mitchell Robinson? Like, that is a huge looming question in my perspective, because Nerlens Noel has been so good for them that I don't know. It makes no sense to pay both. And then you just
Does Noel come back for a backup role?
Like, and I wouldn't if I'm serious. Question. I think he's played his way and shown that he deserves an opportunity to start on a good team. And then you just have the wild cards in Knox and Toppin. Like, I don't know.
Obi Toppin has played NBA basketball for the past month. Like, actual NBA basketball. Like, that guy is an NBA player doing NBA things, is able to be there on the court with NBA players, and it's been awesome. It's been so great.
Obi Toppin is how much older than RJ Barrett?
Chase, you focus too much on the details on this podcast. I think you're this context stuff, this nuance, I think you need to go away from that a little bit. You know, I'm trying to make a point here. I think we should, you know, just leave it on that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not dig too deep into it, all right?
Okay. I'm just saying, the clock's ticking. My man's father time's coming quickly for Obi Toppin.
He's grown fast from unplayable to playable. So I can only imagine the next step is going to be even faster. It's going to be great.
Just need to be careful. He's up there in age. You can tear something if you're not careful.
Give him a full off season with Johnny O'Brien, Kenny Payne.
Is Kenny Payne still going to be on this coaching staff?
I hope so. I don't think he didn't take anything, right?
No, I mean he's been courted.
He's been courted. That's for sure. He's a hot commodity. A lot. The Knicks get a functional basketball operations staff together, and everyone's just on the market immediately. Everyone's going after these guys. Can't keep them together. Already lost Mike Woodson.
Yeah. Speaking of the coaching staff, is Tibbs your non-biased coach of the year vote?
I really like going with the cool story for these awards. So Tibbs is a really attractive pick. Unbiased is tough. Like, I weirdly think, like, no one's talking about Steve Nash's case. Like, I feel like he has a case. Quinn Snyder's obviously has a really good case. Monty Williams, too. I mean, those are probably better unbiased picks. But if you want to go for the narrative, here's the thing about this. I feel like this Knicks team has to get one award. Like, Julius Randle has to get most improved or something. Or you know, none of these guys can really get defensive player of the year because none of them are better than like a Rudy Gobert or Joel Embiid, etc. But like, I feel like you got to give one a coach of the year or most improved to the Knicks, give them the little narrative. Here you go. Nice, you know, year end award to sort of solidify how good of a season you are. Whichever one it is, I don't mind. Thibs is in the running. He's top five easily for sure. It's just tough. I mean, Utah's been so good in such a weird, rocky season, and you know, they made the most out of their roster where you look at it and you don't expect it to be the best team in the league. And there you go. And similar things with Phoenix. So it's tough. Unbiased. I don't think I could just hand it to Thibs, but you know, if they want to give most improved to someone else, I'll take Thibs for coach of the year.
I'm worried about Brad Stevens' coach of the year chances.
It's a really good year to be a Knicks fan, man. Let me tell you.
Would you take a superstar or Brad Stevens for the next 5 years?
LeBron James or Brad Stevens? I don't even remember what that question was. That's crazy.
I mean, I still look back on that. It's just an all-timer. Just the all-time Boston think tank is one of the best. One of the best. I miss it.
Oh, you know, Boston was ready to trade for Julius Randle, you know, but they didn't want to give up they don't want to give up Semi Ojeleye, so let's talk about
Boston. They're on my list. I wanted to pick your brain on because they lose Jaylen Brown, which sucks. Jaylen's awesome. Tatum's awesome. Yeah. But, like, I think two things can be true. One, the Celtics were always going to take a step back by losing Gordon Hayward for nothing. And us just, like, assuming, like, it's not on Tatum. It's not on Brown. It's not even really on Kemba, because he's played pretty solid since he's come back from injury in the last few weeks and the last few months. So, like, it's not even really on Kemba. But they didn't address it. Like, he just left. And they needed that playmaking. They needed that depth. You watch these games, and you're like, they don't have the guys. And I think part of it, too, is he really hasn't drafted all that well. I think they needed Grant Williams or Robert Williams or Romeo Langford or, I mean, even like a Peyton Pritchard. They just needed one of these other guys to really hit. I don't know if it's not fair with Pritchard. It's really, I mean, Semi Ojeleye is fine, but like the depth is an issue. They have a lot of young guys. I mean, I think we're probably looking at a situation now too, and this is hindsight and everything, but should they have sold higher on Marcus Smart when they had the opportunity to do so? Like, what does his value look like now? And Kemba Walker's contract is probably just about untradeable. And what can you really do with this group? And I think Evan Fournier is like a fine late season addition. It hasn't really panned out for them the way they wanted to. He's been fine. But like, I don't know. It's just a different kind of guy. And when you lose Hayward for nothing and you have the Kyrie situation go the way it did and you put all your eggs in the Anthony Davis stuff and all of them just kind of go the wrong way for you guys, like, you still have to like do something to adapt. And I think they, like, Danny Ainge is not a guy who makes big swings mid-season like that. If you look at his trade deadline history, it's just like not anything this guy is interested in doing. So I'm curious to see what he does this offseason, because I don't think you can run it back with this group. I think you obviously keep Brown and Tatum as untradeable, but like everything else needs to be on the table. And I don't really know what they do, but like Smart being on this roster next year would honestly at this point surprise me, because he is their best trade asset, I would say. And you have to start wondering, like, are we gonna have the minutes to play all these young guys now? Like, we don't have the room for Romeo Langford's drives. Like, there's not 12 minutes for him anymore. Like, we need, like, there's just, you have to be very careful with how you're doing this and they're how thin they are on the wing, and just, I don't know, they're weirdly thin there. And then you're like, oh, they have 12 minutes from Grant Williams, he does this. When you have 12 minutes of Robert Williams, he does that. And then there's who's the guy they got, the big, who I always forget his name, who came in after the
Luke Kornet.
Say it again.
Was it Luke Kornet?
Yeah, Luke Kornet. And then you read the Celtics blogs about this and you're like, oh, they're way too high on this trio rotation at the five spot. And I don't know. The Celtics are complicated, but I don't know how they really, really fix this. Like, Hayward just walking for nothing really gutted this team. And I also just think they're kind of stuck, right?
Yeah, this team is just super, super confusing. On the court, it's super good. Like, 'cause I like the players you talked about. Like, I see what they see in that center rotation, and a lot of these, you know, even like, I like Pritchard's minutes. Like, I like some of these young guys and what they do in their limited time. I really like the Williams, and, you know, you mentioned trading Marcus Smart is the best trade asset. Like, can they, assuming they want to build around Tatum and Brown, right? Those two are the key cogs, and assuming they're not just going to tear it down, you know, put nothing around them, collect assets, and then try and, like, you know, build something up in the future, assuming they're still trying to win in the next few years, don't you almost have to keep them as sort of that grit, that toughness, that sort of culture setter type of guy, you know, the sort of edge on the team? Because I don't think you're really getting that from Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum. And, you know, you have Tristan Thompson. He sort of brings that veteran, that physicality, but he's not going to be super effective out there, especially at his age. So it's tough. I don't know what direction to go with this team. You feel like you sort of have to package one or two of the young guys that look promising, maybe like every damn pick you have down the line for whatever next star comes up or whatever star you really like. Outside of that, I can see them running it back with basically the same team. That seemed to be their strategy since that one Eastern Conference Finals run. Like, look, we made it then. We can do it. We have the same guys, basically. Just replace whatever point guard, and you get Gordon Hayward, and Gordon Hayward leaves. But fundamentally, the team is the same that made that run. So, I don't know. They're just trying to catch lightning again. But I agree. They got to do something if the goal is to win the championship.
I just don't think that city's going to stand for running it back with this group. I don't think they can get. I don't think Danny Ainge can bet on that, because I don't think he can afford back-to-back seasons like this with this group. I just don't. What does Victor Oladipo's injury? He's now out for the season. They won't have him in the rotation for the Heat this playoff run. What does this injury mean, and what does this mean for his contract status this summer?
It was always going to be kind of a weird playoff fit for the Heat, just because, you know, they needed to build some chemistry with him and see how he fit, especially on the team that needs maybe a little more shooting. I think for this year it doesn't make a huge difference, but I think the plan is mostly going to be the same this offseason as well with Miami and Oladipo. You know, they traded him to re-sign him. He's going to want to sign there. It's just going to be a lot of injury protection. Protections, I'd imagine, on that contract, and just, you know, probably less money than he was going to get. I'd still imagine they ink it and they get it done. But it sucks to see, you know. Hopefully this change of location, maybe an off season to sort of rehab and get right, and you know, we could start seeing that old Oladipo again.
That would be nice. That would be nice. Let's say Lakers Suns is how the first round unfolds. Is that a doomsday situation for Phoenix?
Fuck, it's not what you want.
No.
It's not what you want. Is this a Lakers that are in the play-in game or not in the play-in game?
Well, I think as of right now, they're in the play-in game, right?
As of right now. So, you know, if they have a couple of play-in games, I feel like that almost benefits the Lakers, because they get, you know, some more time with LeBron and AD healthy, and then just get, you know, get the chemistry back, get the time, you know, timeliness down on defense back and all that stuff. You go right into a first round series with the Suns, you know, maybe the Suns steal game one, maybe game two, you never know what happens. And, well, it's not really stealing because they're the favorite, but that'd be a good matchup. I think the big question there is how DeAndre Ayton stacks up with all that size the Lakers have in the front court. Can he handle those two, Drummond and Anthony Davis?
I would just be so bummed. I really would. Monty Williams is probably my coach of the year. That team is so fun. I love seeing Devin Booker turning the player that he is. Chris Paul and him have just been great. And the Jay Crowder, Mikal Bridges, Ayton's been quiet. He's been fine. But, like, they just know who they are. And Cameron Payne's figured out. Like, that's a team that completely knows and understands exactly who they are. And to get the Lakers in round one would just be brutal. It would kind of remind me of this happens in hockey from time to time, where like you would have something like Lightning Bruins in round one, the way the NHL changed their playoff format, where you can actually have these all-time like top of your conference matchups in the first round and they get eliminated. That's what it would remind me of, and I don't think that's a good thing. But I also don't think the Lakers can win the title if they start the 7-8 seed. Like, just I'm gonna go ahead and say it's just too much for them to overcome in their injury stuff and just their turnaround and everything, and AD not having a normal offseason where he usually takes a full month off. Jovan told me about this last week, was just like, these guys are just fried and they did not have their normal offseason program, and then they have to incorporate all these new people, and obviously AD and LeBron have been out for an extended period of time this year, and I don't know. I'd be very floored at this point if the Lakers were able to run the gambit back-to-back seasons. Dwayne Casey.
I'd really not
oh,
be
go ahead.
At all. Sorry, yeah, I'd really not be, like, I kind of, gun to my head, who's winning the championship this year, I feel like I would almost have to say the Lakers, just because they're, I don't want to say they're safe, but, like, if they can get through whatever first round trouble awaits them, and it's going to be trouble, it's going to be, you know, the Clippers, the Suns, someone tough, if they get past that, I would not be shocked at them running the table. I think like one solid playoff series to sort of set them right, and you know, they just have the talent. They have, you know, they're coming off of last year. They've already won it once, and they have LeBron James, and we forget that he's pretty good.
Yeah, we'll see. That's why they play the games. as they say, David.
No. Chris Paul in a first round Lakers series will pull out every trick in his hat. Every little annoying thing. I can't even imagine. The jersey untucked will be the least of it. That'll be just right off the tip. Mm-hmm. He'll come up with anything.
As he should.
Yes.
Dwayne Casey got a couple year extension up there in Detroit. Good for him. I like Dwayne Casey. When you watch him, that's like, oh, it's fine. Yeah, I think he's fine. But, you know, this Detroit situation, I don't think is going to turn around anytime soon. So he getting that security, I think, is good for him, right?
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, he's a developmental coach, right? And the Pistons have some young guys to develop, and they'll get more. And, yeah, they're not going to be anywhere close to winning anytime soon, so... I think it's fine. You know, what's the worst that kind of you fire him if things don't go right? I mean, you're not expecting any wins anyway, so I don't know why you would. But yeah, it's a nice coach for them to have.
Do you share old friend Tillman Fertitta's excitement about the Rockets' future, David?
I think, is there an exact quote that I missed, or like, how excited is he exactly?
Silas, he's excited about Raphael Stone, the direction of the team, kind of having this Blake Slate they got. This is what he said, quote, "I never thought I could feel this good after winning only 16 games.
I'll say rebuilds can sometimes happen faster than you expect, and it applies to Detroit as well, you just talked about, and Houston and anybody. We've seen, look at the Knicks in 1 year. You know, look where the Nets are now. They fired Billy King, and then a few years later, they're suddenly a super team. So, listen, I like a lot of the guys on the roster, and Kevin Porter Jr. seems like a real thing. I don't know if you're a believer in what he's done, but he seems pretty fun. You know, I like a lot of the other young guys they have. Jason Tate is pretty awesome. Still have Christian Woods, you know, you still have all these picks from the Nets, so who knows? Maybe there's some things to be excited about. You know, you'd be more excited entering the playoffs with James Harden right now and some co-star next to him that he liked and meshed with and didn't want to trade away from, but you know, can't always have it that way.
Do you think Kevin Porter Jr. is watching James Harden tape at all?
He should. If he can get, I mean, his handle's already pretty nice. I think.
Oh no, he already is. That was a old friend. Did you see Rob Perez do that? Who does this remind you of? Of like a zoomed in Kevin Porter Jr. dribbling on the perimeter.
No, I did not.
You have to look at this. It's almost this dude has been in the gym watching nothing but James Harden highlights. And also back to your question for me about Kevin Porter Jr. as a whole. I think it's less about his talent and more about, like, do I believe he's going to be, like, how do I phrase this? Because he was just, like, out. Like, he wasn't banned. Was he banned from the Cavs for the start of the season where he was just, like, they were like, hey, go get your stuff together and then we'll be here, but just take care of your stuff before you come back. And then, obviously, that didn't go well. I think didn't he have a blow-up with the coach? Am I misremembering?
Yeah. There were a few blows. I think that question was posed assuming the extracurriculars are over with, which I don't really think they are, because there were still a couple things that happened in Houston. I don't know.
Yeah.
But hopefully, you know, he sharpens that up. And yeah, I mean, on the court, I think we both agree there's a lot of talent there. I thought there was back in the Cleveland days too.
Yeah. So that's my answer. It's like, if we're talking purely talent and the kind of usage opportunity he'll get in Houston over the next couple of years, I think yes. But do I believe in all the other stuff being taken care of? I don't know. Don't know the guy personally. But the track record so far is concerning, I would say. So we'll have to see. I hope so, because he's a fun player to watch. I hope so. But that is something you have to keep in the back of your mind if you're a Rockets fan. He did say he's going to be patient. And here's the thing about these owners. Tillman Fertitta is going to enjoy this. Like, he has no expectations. Houston fans are like, yeah, it's over. Like, we're bottoming out. Like, we're going after Cade Cunningham. Like, I don't know why owners pretend to complain when they're in this position. They get to get the revenue that everybody else gets in the NBA owner group, and they get to suck. Like, it's pretty nice. They have no expectations. They get to cash their checks, make their money, and see their franchise value inflate to unreal numbers. And hey, he's got a pretty good gig. Not everyone gets to be an NBA owner. And when you flip it, you can make a lot of money. I don't think he's all that talking about the on-the-court stuff. He's more like, oh, yeah, I'm excited about the money that I'm going to make when I flip this franchise 10 years from now. Would maybe be the full answer there.
That would definitely be more exciting than their on-court prospects. I'd be extremely excited, personally.
I just hope Steven Silas gets the time he deserves. Like, that's all I want, is Steven Silas to get a long time in Houston. The Luke Walton All-Stars. You and I were talking before we got started recording. It's one of our favorite things to read every year. Zach Lowe does this at the end of the year on ESPN.com that you should go check out if you've not already done so. Who was your favorite pick on that list?
I mean, the biased one is Alec Burks, right? But no, that's not the pick. It might have to be. I think it might have to be Bruce Brown. Bruce Brown is a really weird, amazing player. His role on his team, like that whole context, just makes no sense. By the way, this is an aside, but I love how I feel like this year, maybe the last year too, this column is now going a little more sort of reporting driven, narrative driven, and Zach was actually talking to these guys and talking to guys around them and really, you know, just talking about going into the season, what they wanted to work on, all this different stuff. I just think that's cool. But yeah, Bruce Brown, I really love. Kendrick Williams, I liked for a long time. That whole Thunder roster is a weird little Luke Walton all-star team.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fun. Yeah. Who did he leave off the list for you? Who's your Luke Walton all-star?
Who did he leave off the list?
In your opinion, who's someone for you, yeah.
Putting me in that spot here. Kevin Huerter.
Yeah. That's crazy. I actually had him highlighted here as one of mine.
Kevin Huerter has been extremely important. I would actually put Kevin. He does a little bit of everything. I would have him on my list. And that's my non-biased answer. You know, it would probably be Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, I'm wondering how good... Like, is there a level of good where you just get disqualified from the Luke Walton All-Star?
Yeah.
And does Jalen Brunson, does he make that cut? Because, like, you got, like, Utah Watanabe down here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This list is made up of, yeah. I had Luke Kennard. I was thinking of Luke Kennard, maybe, as a good Luke Walton All-Star.
Jayshon Tate.
Some of the Houston guys would be fun.
Oh, Nickeil Walker-Alexander. There's a lot of them on the Pelicans, actually. I'm probably thinking about throwing on there.
I loved Alec Burks getting his due, even though, again, like, I feel like half the Knicks are a Luke Walton All-Star.
I'd have to do some more thinking. I mean, for me, I love going through it, and I just thought, like you said, like, adding more of a personal element to these is pretty awesome. And, like, the story behind Toscano Anderson and, like, him just not loving basketball at all and him just being done and then just going to play in Mexico where his mom's from. And just the right guy saw him, and then he gets a tryout with Santa Cruz, and he does that for 2 years, and gets called up, and now he's going to be part of their long-term plans, and he's shooting well, and I don't know. And I also thought it was cool, like Kendrick Williams, where I think it was Jamie Dixon was like, you don't really have a skill to get drafted. You need to – all you can do is – I think it was like rebound, and then he was like, you got to shoot better. And the senior year, he shot 40% from three. Like, stuff like that is just cool. Like,
yeah.
Dudes, man, like, I like when coaches are like that. Of like, they know why you're there and be aware. And like, hey, sorry, there's no chance for you to get drafted if you don't start shooting better. And he's like, all right, done. 40%. And I just think it's kind of cool. And then, like, the story of Cameron Payne. Like, can you imagine being a lottery guy and then getting cut? And then, like, the next day you're in China in a small hotel room. And you're like, oh, my God, this changed rather quickly. And then for him to get back and just be as fun as he has been and shooting well for Phoenix has been super cool, because it was going to be kind of sad if his entire NBA career was just defined by his pre-game handshakes and dances with Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, no, that's the story. It's impossible not to root for Campaign. Really awesome comeback. The story was great. Doing it for a competitive team, just coming back and being the backup point guard for such a good team, man. It's awesome. And yeah, I interviewed him, I think, as a rookie, maybe second or third year with the Thunder. I'm not really sure, but he was always really awesome and great professional. And yeah, so I have a bias. I'm a big Campaign guy. I'm on the island.
You're on the island. I like it.
Yeah, got a lot of property. Got some timeshares on Campaign Island.
Are you an investor at all, David? Are you in Dogecoin and all that?
It's worth through $100 of Dogecoin. What's a little? It's worth through $100 of Dogecoin.
I don't understand any of it. Like the stock market and all of that. Because you're in finance, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm an accountant, but like the investing stuff is I focus on that a lot on the side. Invest in stocks, kids. Smart. Good stocks, though. Like, you know, real stuff. Not something you see on Twitter.
But see, like, I don't know where to begin. I don't even know. Like, I'm so out of it. It's amazing how little I know about so many things, David. Do you ever think about that sometimes where you're like, it's incredible that I have a dearth of knowledge on this particular subject and there's probably no opportunity for me to like add and retain some stuff. Like I'm so full of bullshit from sporting events and sports and all my books that like I'm closing in at 30. You'll get here at some point, David, where you're like, I don't have any more room. The room is full. I don't have anything else to add. I can't keep adding things to my plate. I can't keep adding new things to be in my brain. Like I just can't do it.
New skills, new things to talk about at parties, new ideas. I just feel like that room could be better spent on like who's the 15th man on the Knicks G League roster. I don't know. I personally just think that's where people's priority should be.
I mean, no one's ever going to ask me, Chase, what do you think about Jahmyr Gibbs, the 4-star running back from Georgia Tech? He had a pretty good year last year. Like, that's not going to come up at a cocktail party, I don't think. But I can tell you all about
that. Never say never.
No, well, I guess I should never say never.
Only the really good cocktail parties.
Have you ever even been to a cocktail party? I don't think I ever have.
I think I'd sooner just watch paint dry.
Are you a going out person or are you a homebody?
A little bit of both. The cocktail party seems too stiff. An Irish bar with like some $6 beers. Mm-hmm. You're not in New York City. Maybe $6 beers is like
that's outrageous. But continue.
The norm. Yeah, you know, and just
is that a deal for you?
Yeah, you know, being loud. Yeah,
$6 beers. Like, what are we talking here?
Yeah,
what kind of beer?
I mean, anything like that isn't, you know, grocery store just first shot. Like, I mean,
are you a beer guy?
I partake.
You partake. What's your go-to?
I'm a fan. I like Stella's. I like Yinglings. I like a lot of the European stuff. Hofbräu, German stuff, Hefeweizen, and all the good stuff.
There's the New York in you. I like all the German beers and the European beers. I don't like to partake in that classless stuff that they partake in down south. The Coors Lights, the Bud Lights, the Bud Heavies.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. You asked me what my, you know, what beers I like to go to. Okay, the fiscally responsible choices. You know, what's available to me at baseball games. You know, that listen, I gotta have a crisp Bud Light. You know,
a crisp
5 o'clock
Bud Light
on a Friday after work sometimes.
Well,
that's
we'll cut that out because Coors Light sponsoring. I'll chop in Coors Light. Don't worry about it.
Oh man.
Don't worry about it, David. Last thing, we'll end on this note. The most New York thing you've seen since the last time we spoke on this podcast was what?
The most New York thing. I've been out of the house much, Chase. There's a pandemic going on. Oh, I had, this was since we last spoke. Me and some coworkers were at a bar. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a man came up to it. So this bar serves popcorn with your beers. Very nice. Free popcorn.
Okay.
And, you know, a man comes up and I was asking for a little bit of change. We didn't give it to him, and he asked for the popcorn. We gave him the popcorn. He just went in, hand deep into the popcorn, grabbed it, and walked out.
Wait, did you give him the popcorn, or did you just let him like grab some?
We told him he could have popcorn, but he just, you know, we didn't give it. He just went hand deep into the bowl and just snatched.
Well, I have a follow-up question.
So we didn't really touch the rest of it.
Okay, that was my follow-up question.
Was that your question? Yeah.
I didn't know if you would go back in there. So that was the end of the popcorn experience.
Yeah. Yeah, we were good with that.
See, I can't do popcorn. I have TM. Like, anyone, you can tell if someone said braces by whether or not they love popcorn. Because anyone who had braces for a long time, popcorn's just out of our lives now. Like, it's just, it was not something you could partake in. And it's just, I guess there's some PTSD of, like, the kernels getting stuck in your teeth and stuff like that. That I just can't do. And there's like certain things I just can't eat because I have TMJ from the braces experience. My jaw actually locked on the way to a final my senior year of college. Kid you not. Jaw locked from yawning.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's one of the most embarrassing things of all time. Like trying to call, like I had to like, so it was pretty nasty and pretty gnarly to like pop it back in place, but it's a weird feeling not having a working jaw. So essentially I'm Terminator, I think, is where we ended on that, is that I'm the Terminator by all accounts, because I'm...
I assumed that coming in, so
yeah.
That's good. that theory is confirmed.
Thanks, man. Thanks. What can we check out from you across the internet at SMY? Anything you would like to plug as we wrap up here?
Yeah, I'm writing for SNY. Knicks are in the playoffs. I'm going to have a lot of playoff coverage. I'm going to have a couple things this week leading up to it. Looking at the Knicks in the clutch, how they performed in the clutch this year, because that was obviously a big talking point in that Laker game, poor offensive execution. So I'm going to dig into that, see if that'll affect them in the playoffs. And I've got another take also on how no matter what happens in the playoffs, this Knicks season was awesome. It was a success, resounding success. Big applause, and Knicks fans should be super happy no matter the outcome. So we're going to try and keep it optimistic, even though this could be a first rounder at most second round bounce, probably.
Yeah. Well, maybe you'll sign Alexi Chavez and get the gang back together, and it'll be a fun end of season experience.
Should be. Yeah, we'll see if our teams face off. Should be a good match.
I mean, that's fingers crossed there. That's what I want. That is what I want.
We're both hoping for each other's teams in the first round because nobody wants to touch Miami.
No, like, or Milwaukee. Like, y'all would be getting, yeah, no, you don't want any of that.
Yeah.
You don't want it. Like, I don't want Jimmy Butler stomping on Trey's soul in four games. That's not something I'm really all that interested in seeing. And I don't know. I could go on about that. But David Birchberg, thank you as always.
Chase Thomas, thanks for having me.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Nobody builds 5G like Verizon builds 5G. Because we're the engineers who built the most reliable network in America. And the more you do with 5G, the more building it right matters. The more your network matters. The more Verizon engineers going the extra mile matters. It's us pushing us. It's Verizon versus Verizon. 5G built right from America's most reliable network. Most reliable based on rankings from RootMetrics second half 2020 U.S. report of 3 mobile networks. Results may vary. Award is not an endorsement.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.